This episode of Hometown Alaska was recorded in June 2021.
Hello, and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I am your guest host today, Justin Williams. It's a pleasure to be here to facilitate this discussion on this pretty gorgeous summer day. Comparatively speaking, 2021 has been generally quite kind to us, and I'm totally here for it. Our topic today is going to be the significance of our food culture, our meaning Alaskan, and our guests today are Jason Anderson and Sheena Goffner. Born and raised in Kansas City, Jason has lived and worked across the country in various restaurants. Working from fast casual to fine dining, he found his culinary voice by taking classic comfort food and giving them a fresh new spin. He is currently the chef and owner of the food truck Melt, which specializes in gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches. Jason, what's good, man?
Oh, not much. How are you?
I'm here. I'm fantastic and wearing my favorite Ghostbusters hat. So life is good. I can't complain.
Word.
And our other guest is Sheena Goffner. She owns and operates Gelate, the only gelato shop here in Anchorage. She loves to make intriguing flavors, drawing ideas not only from her Filipino heritage, but also using wild Alaskan ingredients. Sheena, it's great to hear from you. You're over the phone. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great today. How about you?
You know, I'm here. It's super, super great. We just had lunch yesterday, so it was really good to see you and catch up. So both of you guys, just thank you so much for joining me today in Hometown Alaska. It's an honor to have you here with me.
Well, thank you for having us here.
Thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, this is a pre-recorded episode, so we will not be accepting calls during the show as usual. But in the future, we will return to audience inclusion. So I hope you'll enjoy today's episode and stay tuned for more from our usual roster of hosts. So let's just dive in it. So, Jason, you and I have been friends over the past year, and it's been an honor getting to know you more and more and more.
Yeah.
To see where your mind goes when it comes to food. We've talked sandwiches before, and as a lifelong Alaskan in my 30s, I can say that sandwiches have always been a part of my diet. And you said you were born in Kansas City. How does that influence the food that you make?
Well, in Kansas City, growing up, I wasn't really big into cooking.
Okay.
But it kind of evolved, you know, eating with my family, my grandfather doing his burgers for the family and getting everyone together. And as I decided to change paths, I originally wanted to play baseball and then eventually switched over into culinary arts. I struggled for a little bit of trying to figure out what I wanted to do with food.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I watched the movie Chef that it really kind of gave me the passion and the drive to, you know, stick it to the corporate elite and say, you know, it's time for me to do my own thing.
Right.
And so that's where the inspiration of my truck came. And learning the recipe of that grilled cheese from the movie that he gives to his son. I think Binging with Babish calls it the I love you, but I don't know how to show it grilled cheese. That was kind of the starting point of me conceptualizing what I really wanted to do. And with sandwiches, and like you said, like sandwiches are in everyone's diet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the most comfort-based foods. And almost anything can become a sandwich, and that's kind of where I view my artistic or creative mind is think of classic dishes that people enjoy and figure out how to make it into a sandwich.
Yeah. And I want to add to that, I'm a total cinephile. I'm obsessed with cinema. I'm obsessed with films and movies, pop culture, as you know. Chef is one of my favorite films. It was one of my favorite films long before I ever was even, you know, into food. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I just love Jon Favreau as a director, as an actor. He was the director of Iron Man, amongst other things. And so he already has a very important part in my life. the creator of The Mandalorian. And so it was 2014 when he made Chef, and you know, I watched an interview with him, and he was just like, as far as movie making goes, after doing Iron Man 1 and 2, he just wanted to make something simple, you know, an independent film with a, you know, A-list cast. And every time I watch that film, I die a little bit inside in the best way, because the way that he creates food, and he was actually trained by an actual chef in real life. So the food he's actually making. And that grilled cheese scene, I know exactly what you're talking about when you say chef inspired. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I mean, everything about that, the cinematography, the sizzle, whether there's food, like music playing in the background, or in some scenes, like the breakfast scene when he's making the hash browns and eggs and bacon, plus the grilled cheese scene. I don't think there's any music in the background, right? So it's very appropriate in certain scenes when he's creating food. And that grilled cheese scene is probably the most iconic scene in the entire film.
Oh yeah.
It kills me every time, and I've tried to mimic my own grilled cheese sandwiches based off of that scene. And I don't like, for my daughter, I don't eat grilled cheese. I'm lactose intolerant. So the only grilled cheese sandwiches I'll eat are yours. I'll grab my lactate pills and say, let's do it. You know, so that is very intriguing to me. And thank you for that answer, for sure. Sheena, where were you born? Were you born here? You weren't born here, were you?
Actually, no. I was born on an army base in Germany.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was a military brat, so we kind of moved around. So I didn't have a home as far as like a home base until I was 4 years old, and that was here in Anchorage. This is where we ended up settling.
Okay. And okay, so how does that, like, I get, well, my next question was going to be, how has Alaska influenced your cuisine? But you've been here like most of your life, right? So I kind of feel like maybe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe Alaska has more of an influence on the way that you make food than Germany, perhaps. How do you feel about that? Is that an accurate statement?
Oh, definitely. I was literally in Germany for 8 months. So I was 8 months old when I left. I don't remember anything about it. But being here and just the melting pot that we have and the access to all the different kinds of cuisines that we have has made a huge influence on, you know, how I perceive food and the things that I want to create. Like, I know gelato is... you know, you can't do too many weird flavors in there, but we do have some interesting things that we pull out.
Yeah, no doubt. Gelate, I'm always singing the praises of that place. I told you yesterday, I think that's probably the one restaurant that I've reviewed the most out of any of the restaurants that I've been to. Slash cafe, slash dessert spots, and it's absolutely my favorite. Can you describe for everyone listening the difference between, maybe the primary difference or differences between ice cream and gelato?
There's a few different differences. So ice cream is served colder. It generally has more air whipped into it. It usually has more sugar and things like that to combat the fact that it has to be cold. So you get more of a sugar flavor from ice cream, I feel like. Gelato, on the other hand, you know, it's served warmer, you get more of the flavors, so you don't have to have as much sugar to bring the flavors out, also to make the consistency right. So really, I think gelato is more just like pure flavors. A lot of the times it's just one note, like just chocolate or just hazelnut or just pistachio. But you can mix and match them, and... yeah, that's where the fun comes in. You can make your own flavor in a cup, you know?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things about understanding food is something as simple as changing the temperature of something can drastically change the flavor of whatever you're eating.
Yeah, there's a science to food. There's a science to flavor. And this is, you know, I'm not a chef. I'm not a baker. This is just coming from a consumer's perspective. You know, every time we bite into something or we create something, it's insane. I feel like as an artist, I can say that when we create things, pieces, masterpieces, whatever you want to call it, in any form of art, whether it be culinary, visual, interpretive, audio, there is a frightening amount of love put into it. And the audience, the onlookers, the clients, the consumers, they can smell disingenuous intent or design from a mile away. And I can definitely say about the food, the modern day food culture here in Alaska, it's definitely become more genuine in the past couple of years.
I've seen that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been here since 2013, but seeing the direction of where the culinary scene's going, mm-hmm. It's a very interesting time now for restaurateurs to get out there, because we're starting to see more concepts and food that you would normally find in the lower 48 at, mm-hmm. you know, places in California, Chicago, these culinary meccas. Mm-hmm. We're starting to get some people up here who are bringing that to the city and the state,
yeah.
which I think is, you know, so important for these people. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand, you know, a lot of people have the FOMO of the chain restaurants, and right. so they do very well up here, but getting these new perspectives in food, I think, is just crucial to mm-hmm. Expanding our culinary scene.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that. I want to expand on that a little bit later in the show. This idea that Alaska always seems to be a little bit behind on food trends.
Mm-hmm.
Even the idea of the food truck is relatively new for us.
Yeah.
You know, we've only been doing that for a couple of years, whereas even just on the West Coast alone, they've been doing it for a mighty, mighty long time. And it's funny because it kind of takes this idea of like the hole in the wall, right? Where you discover this kind of janky looking little place, or this super, super old kind of place. You take a risk, mm-hmm. you know. And you might be cut off, you know, put off guard by the kind of food that they have, or the fact that they may be like cash only or something like that. But then when you receive your food, you realize this is some of the best food in the city.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
I think COVID actually kind of played a part in that. Mm-hmm. I think it inspired people to take that leap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being locked indoors, and just, I think it gave people time to reflect on what they really wanted to do. And they were just like, all right, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're seeing all these new food trucks. I mean, Mammoth Cheesesteak.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Gitano's.
Mm-hmm.
You have all of these new ideas coming into Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like you said, some of the best food that you can get in this town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Birria Tacos is another big one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. That's not new. I've been watching Birria Tacos on YouTube for years now, you know? And so the fact that we just got some last year and is blowing up is like, wow, to me, you know. But that does bring me to my next question. How has Alaska, just in general, I don't want to be too specific yet, but Jason, how has Alaska influenced your cuisine?
So for a long time, I kind of struggled on where my direction and where my vision should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of looked at myself as, if I am not achieving a Michelin-rated restaurant, if I'm not getting that star, then I'm not a good chef.
Mm-hmm.
Going through all the restaurants that I had worked in, you know, like I said, like you had mentioned in fine dining, it just wasn't my scene.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't enjoying it, and there would be times where I would get burnt out and kind of reference another movie, Burnt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where I was at, and I had to take a break for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And got back into it, and when I moved back up here, you know, something clicked, and it was, you know, it's not about like where you're at in the restaurant. It's mm-hmm. not about who's teaching you what. It's about figuring out who you are and what you want to do.
Right.
Figure out that thing and be the best at it.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to get burnt out. You're going to enjoy what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And Alaska helped me with that, because while we do have these great restaurants and food trucks, at the same time, they have found their voice, and it's not about being so complex with their food. It's mm-hmm. just being the best at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how, you know, being here in this state has helped me evolve from being overly complicated with my food,
right,
to just understanding control and mm-hmm. understanding that, hey, take a step back,
yeah,
relax. It doesn't have to be Michelin.
Right.
It just has to be great, and that's what you can do.
Right. I think that's a beautiful perspective too. When you start to step out of this idea of, like you kind of said, like larger corporate standards, you realize you actually have a lot more creativity.
Mm-hmm. You know? Very much.
You have so much creative license to do what you want to do. Take what you've learned, of course, but apply it to your own boundaries and your own standards.
Right.
You know, and that's absolutely fantastic. Less is more. Mm-hmm. Simplicity, right?
Yeah. In my culinary school, my chef instructor, he always said, KISS, which is keep it simple, silly.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really grasped that. It was like, well, if I add this, it'll make it taste better.
Yeah.
And then I'd do that, and then I would taste it, and I'd be like, well, that's good, but if I add this, it'll make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I would get to 15 ingredients in this one sauce, and I have lost the whole identity of that sauce. And it just went from, hey, this was really good, to, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's kind of how I view my approach now with anything is just keep it simple.
Right.
Like you don't need to be overcomplicated, because when you start doing that, people don't taste all of the complexities. They just taste a muddled, confused dish.
Yeah. And simplicity, speaking of which, is one of the things that I enjoy the most about Sheena's gelato. Sheena, what made you want to bring gelato to Alaska? I mean, there's some places here, obviously, that do serve gelato, like on the side, on the menu. You'll see under the dessert section, oh, they have gelato. It's like, okay, sounds a little fancy. But like you said, you're the only person in the city that actually owns a kind of a gelato. I guess you would almost call it a gelato bar. So what made you want to bring gelato to Anchorage?
My husband and I, we go on vacation, and everywhere we went, we find ourselves at the gelato shops, not at the ice cream shops. And every time we'd come home, we would just be missing it. And somehow I didn't find, you know, these restaurants that had these gelatos on their menu.
Yeah.
Somehow it slipped by me. I just didn't know that they existed. But we actually went down to Homer, and there's a gelato shop there. And it made us realize that, oh, wow, they can do this here in Homer.
Yeah.
We can do it in Anchorage. We just really wanted to bring it back. Because it was something that we missed, and we thought that it was something that was missing from the food scene here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what inspired us to get started.
Okay. And I love that because, again, I can't talk about how good your gelato is enough. I can't. I've had other gelato in the city, and it's great, but yours is fantastic. Tell me a little bit about, before we take a short break, can you tell me a little bit about your flavor inspiration? It feels like Alaska and the berries and the flavors of Alaska that, you know, the state provides for us are a major influence on your vegan gelato flavors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. We definitely have traditional flavors, the Italian ones, the nuts, the chocolate, that kind of stuff. But what we do that's unique is, you know, we take whatever is in season. Like right now, pretty soon it's going to be rhubarb, and we make sorbettos out of those. Mm. We also make gelatos out of them, but also salmon berries and lingonberries. Just whenever they're in season, that's when we want to take advantage of that and showcase it. And do something unique. I don't think I've ever seen a salmon berry anything anywhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always exciting to bring to the culinary food scene here.
I do have a question about that. With the use of the state's produce that it provides, I see a lot of people sometimes, you know, they can't get it commercially, so they have to be able to do a trade or a donation.
Yeah.
So how do you go about that, you know, for anybody who's looking to commercially do something like salmonberry? Because I don't think you can find salmonberry in the grocery store.
No. So there is like an Alaska berry company that we work with just for the salmonberries and the lingonberries. And then as far as the rhubarb goes, we ask for, you know, people to bring it in, and we'll trade them for gelato, and it's a really good deal for everybody around.
That's so cool that we're able to do that with restaurants. Just bring us your produce that's overgrown in your yard, and we'll turn it into something you'll eat.
Yep, and then you get some gelato out of the deal.
Yeah, and then everybody wins. You know, and not only that, but that offers Alaska a very particular exclusivity. And you don't get that anywhere else. And we're such an isolated state from the lower 48 anyway, that the more exclusive stuff that we have here, the more that we're able to appreciate the last frontier. You know, it's just one of those things that makes us very special and very, very unique. So everyone, you're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. I'm your guest host, Justin Williams, speaking with my guests, Jason Anderson and Gina Goffner, about the significance of our food culture. We won't be accepting any calls on this special pre-recorded episode of Hometown, but we are thinking of you, and we will be prepared to have you join us in future episodes. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. For more information about this episode, visit us online at alaskapublic.org.
The conversations you hear on Hometown Alaska are focused on the needs and voices of Alaskans, and the generosity of Alaskans brings them to you. Join your neighbors and become a member of your public radio station today.
This episode of Hometown Alaska was recorded in June 2021.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. I'm your guest host, Justin Williams, speaking with Gina Goffner and Jason Anderson about the significance of our Alaskan food culture. Thank you so much for joining us. And Jason, who's the owner of Melt Food Truck here in Anchorage, Alaska, you spoke briefly about how COVID has kind of affected and had an influence on our creativity for our food culture. How has COVID affected your personal motivation and mindset about the food culture and the business culture in the city?
So last year around, I think it was March, my girlfriend and I decided that we wanted to pack up and move to Maine and do a season in Maine. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to sell a bunch of our things.
Yeah.
And then in April, obviously the mandate hit and the no travel happened.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We were scrambling to find an apartment, and we decided that it would have been better to be up here rather than in the lower 48. So we stayed up here, signed a 12-month lease, got a dog, and I bought a food truck. So now we're here full time.
Yeah.
And what basically happened was I have a good and a bad issue of when I put my mind on something, I have to do it right away. Because if I don't, I won't do it.
Right.
And right. So I had the opportunity to get this food truck and get it going. And part of the reason why this COVID was a blessing for me, and where I decided to go with food, was that I have such a strong base of friends that are basically my family up here. Being a transplant and really kind of working seasonally for a while and then finally making the commitment to stay here year-round, it's very difficult for my family to come up, and so I had to make new family.
Yeah.
And having them here to help guide me in the right direction and to give me the support that I needed to get this business going, it probably would have never been able to work if I was somewhere else. And it just, it gave me time to reflect on where I was as a chef, to then just be like, you know what people need? We need some comfort food. We need something to make us feel good when we eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did. Mm-hmm. And I think for the most part, with a lot of the businesses that you see popping up, I think some of them came from chefs who are working in restaurants already.
Yeah.
And they were inspired to just finally make that leap because it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive. And, you know, I think the statistic is 1 in 3 restaurants close within the first year.
Mm.
And I think COVID gave us this kick and a drive to be like, well, you know, we only live once, so you might as well just do it. And if you do it and fail, at least you can't regret not doing it.
Exactly. Yeah, I was an art major at UAA for the first 2 years before I became a sociology major. And especially when I started to take a deeper dive into vector-based graphic design, one of the things that my professor would always tell me is stop being so afraid to fail.
Mm-hmm.
If you're afraid to fail, you'll be afraid to start.
Yep.
You'll never be brave. You'll never be bold. So you have to accept that as a possibility. You have to understand burnout is a real thing, and you have to do some proactive and reactive things to, you know, make sure that you can combat it before it comes, and definitely combat it when it arrives. You know
right.
what I mean? And COVID definitely tested us on that front in a variety of different ways, sociologically, psychologically, mm-hmm. politically, spiritually. It was just a poop show, to put it politely. And Sheena, I wanted to ask you the same thing. We spoke a little bit about this yesterday, and you're right in the heart of downtown. I believe, you're on 6th Avenue, right?
Yeah, 6th and E Street, so like right by Town Square Park.
Right by Town Square. So Gelate is in the heart of downtown. We're talking tourism. You know, we're talking the heart of the city, some other, you know, some of the best fine dining in the city as well. And you're smack dab right there, which is fantastic when summers are buzzing, when springtime is buzzing. COVID was not. So, you know, COVID was like incentivizing everyone to just kind of stay home, not go out, and therefore not enjoy the lovely delicacies that are out there, like your shop. And so I wanted to ask you the same thing. How has COVID affected your motivation and mindset about the restaurant industry, the food culture, and the business culture in Anchorage?
COVID was rough. You know, we didn't have the same tourist numbers that we'd had.
Yeah.
A lot of people were just kind of staying home or, you know, just getting takeout and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we really had to kind of change the way we operated a bit. It pushed us to get an online menu, online ordering,
mm-hmm.
Pushed us to, you know, collaborate with those third-party delivery companies
mm-hmm.
just so that people had access to what we had to offer without having to come all the way downtown or, you know, even having to get out of their cars. We started doing curbside service as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
And then one of the things that happened that I thought was great, and I don't know that it would have happened if COVID, you know, never reared its ugly head. We have this amazing online community of Anchorage To Go.
Yes.
So that's an awesome group. And all the restaurateurs, I feel like we're supporting each other. We're collaborating. You know, we're rallying for each other. And then that's also a great place for other people to find us, whereas, you know, there's a lot of places I wouldn't even know about if that group didn't exist. So I think that was a beautiful thing that actually came out of this this kind of terrible situation that we were all in.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with that. There was an article that I was reading where it was talking about different cities that what had they done to deal with COVID. And I believe Anchorage To Go was listed in like one of the top 5 things that people had done. Mm-hmm. And then also, unfortunately, Kansas City was in there too. And they were not doing it for food. They were creating a group where people just chugged alcohol in front of each other. So that was their way of dealing with COVID.
Oh, no.
That's a very Kansas City thing to do.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, you know, if they got through it, they got through it.
Right.
They deserve credit enough for that. Because, yeah, man, COVID hit us all pretty rough. And it definitely had a huge influence on what we ate.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? A lot of places, Sheena, just like you were talking about, you know, about offering curbside assistance, delivery, using third parties like, you know, Grubhub, DoorDash. Do we have Uber Eats up here?
We do have Uber Eats. I think we do.
Yep. I think it kind of started a little bit later, but.
Okay. Well, everything starts late in Alaska.
And then there is one local third-party delivery service, which is Orange Crate, that I know of.
Ooh. Yeah, that's the local one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome. I didn't know what they were. I actually saw them on social media recently. I was like, they look interesting, but I didn't read a little bit, like, enough, rather, about, like, who they were and what they did. So I'm definitely going to have to shout them out.
Yeah, there's a local one in Wasilla that started up over COVID.
Okay.
And I think they're trying to branch out into Anchorage as well.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
That is very good to know. Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it. That's unfortunate. But I had overheard them talking to, what's that new taco joint in Midtown?
Sicario's. Sicario's.
Yeah.
Okay. Oof. I'm drooling now. Thinking of Sicario's. I'm sorry. Yeah, they're fantastic. So yeah, COVID, God, stinks. But you know what? I kind of think about what the food culture here would be like even if COVID didn't happen. Outside of 2020 and its insane influence, negative and positive, on business, right? You know, this, like I said earlier, like this idea, Alaska's just late on things. This idea of food truck is still relatively new. Sheena, why do you think that is? Why do you think Alaska is always behind on not just trends, but particularly like food trends? Like, what is that? Like, New York has been doing, like, offering fast food delivery for years and years. Just as an example. And so kind of as a businesswoman and a consumer, do you think that says something positive or negative about the Alaskan food culture that we're always one step behind? Does that offer enough of a gap for us to innovate on something that everyone else is doing and kind of stay independent? Or does that just mean we just need to learn to catch up?
I think part of what keeps us behind is that it's very expensive to operate here.
Yeah.
You know, some people are, you know, maybe they're afraid to take that jump, like what Jason said, because yeah, it's expensive and it is scary to branch out and do that kind of thing. Also, companies, you know, even the chain restaurants and things like that, they have a hard time investing up here, which is strange because anybody who does, most of the time they do really well.
Yeah.
Alaskans love novelty. Mm-hmm. We love new things. And that's something I think that maybe a lot of places just don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
But also a lot of us, a lot of people are kind of like, they're in their own world. They kind of go to their own like regular, dependable comfort foods. You know, the places that they've always gone to. So sometimes it's hard to garner an audience or a new customer base, and get your name out there, which I had experienced. We opened July of 2019, so just the year prior to 2020, and getting our name out there was kind of a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So now that surprisingly we have this great online community, we're getting more recognition. So, yeah, I guess, you know, negative or positive, I really think that, you know, we could expand more. We're definitely open to it.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on if someone's willing to take that leap.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I could add to that, too. I looked at Anchorage being, I want to say, behind on food trucks, because there have been great food trucks here before, you know, I ever opened mine up. But I do look at the scene in general, and I see a lot of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's more positive reflection or understanding of, you know, saying that, you know, we are behind in certain food aspects. However, that creates opportunity for people who have a passion, a drive to do their own thing, to bring it here to this town mm-hmm. without somebody else getting the hint or the clue that needs to be here and it can be profitable.
Mm-hmm.
So they say Alaska's the last frontier. I mean, in every aspect, it really is. I mean, it's the last frontier for business opportunities as well. Mm-hmm. And I tell my friends down in the lower 48, if you're looking to do a business and you have an idea, yeah, it's probably here, but we can make it better. And I think that's kind of where the direction is heading. You started to see it, I think, personally with COVID during that time, as people became more adventurous. They became more into doing their own thing and having that courage. And a lot of people, you know, would look down on COVID and saying it was a terrible time, but there was a lot of opportunity that was grasped and taken control of.
Mm-hmm.
And, go back to it, I think it was somewhat of a blessing for the people who took that risk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree. And I would even dare say that was the case in almost all aspects, not just the food culture, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, not to harp on it too much, but taking a look at how COVID turned the cinema industry upside down on its head, theaters were closing and streaming services were like, what can we do about this, right? And so now we have, you know, premiere access for certain movies that should be in theaters that are going directly to streaming, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things like that. We got to see movies like Wonder Woman 1984, super, super early, Birds of Prey, super, super early, blockbusters starring A-listers, you know, and HBO Max's new deal with WB. I mean, everything from Space Jam 2 to The Matrix 4 is going straight to streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Tenet was the same way. So seeing how COVID has affected and influenced all industries has just been so unique and so interesting. And I love thinking about the ways that COVID has heavily influenced the way that we eat.
Yeah.
Right. So I want to ask another question before we go on another break. Because I feel like when I'm speaking to you guys, and the reason why I love you guys so much is not just because I consider you guys personal friends of mine, but because I feel like you guys are part of, you know, the small business economy here in Alaska. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you guys, Jason, you can go first on this. What could big business do to contribute to smaller operations in the restaurant industry?
I think with big business, they definitely can focus on looking at better ways to include the local small business population. You know, a lot of times there's corporate restaurant situations where the owner of the restaurant up here might want to do local craft beer on tap, but the corporate aspect is telling them that they can't do it because they have the set tap beers. They have to follow that standard procedure. That's their basic practices.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really, I think that really harms our local breweries to not have those in those bar and restaurants at the corporate level. As for going about anything else, it's maybe, because, I mean, our produce is fantastic in the summertime. And we also have the hydroponic farm that people can get their produce from. And, you know, they should absolutely try and do their best to get out there and see about getting produce from them and help support them and sustain and give them some extra sustainability in this market.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy, and I understand it's cost effective to do a larger companies to do the sourcing of the food product, but sometimes what in the kitchen the saying is whatever is easy isn't always the best. So I think we really have to kind of look at that aspect too, even for a small restaurant business and to the corporate level.
Yeah.
easy isn't always better.
Yeah, that is very true. And in so many different avenues, easy isn't always better. And Sheena, what do you think? Do you find that big misses could contribute to small operations? Do you find that there, I mean, I know that, you know, there's a second location opening that's at least in the works, and maybe big business is kind of, I don't know, kind of getting in the way of that. You expressed some frustrations with me yesterday just because the process is slow. You're doing everything that you can, and on the other side, you're not too sure if they're doing their side, you know. But even outside of that, like, how do you feel about the big business and their influence on the small business economy? Do you really think that that there are some creative ways perhaps that they could contribute to, you know, smaller operations like Melt Food Truck and Gelate?
Well, as far as like the new location in Diamond Center, it's more of just local contractors in the municipality that mm-hmm. we're running into roadblocks. So it's not really doesn't really fit with the big business question that you're asking. Mm-hmm. As far as like big business supporting local small business restaurants and things like that, I feel like Jason hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. You know, using local produce, local beers, also, you know, local seafood. There are some chain restaurants, you know, just to give an example, there was TGI Fridays, which no longer exists. Mm-hmm. It's now Bear Paw. And he, as far as my knowledge, he was coming up with the problem of wanting to use local salmon, and they weren't going to allow that because they wanted everything to be uniform, you know, across the country. and that was a detriment, you know, to the quality of food that they could serve, and then also supporting Alaskan agriculture and seafood industry.
To sit there and tell them that they can't serve Alaskan caught salmon.
Mm-hmm.
That just, it blows my mind that you want to have that kind of control on a restaurant that can thrive off of that, especially a chain restaurant like that was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was pretty sad actually when TGI Fridays left, but I was very excited when Bear Paw came along, and also just seeing, and I've only been there, I think, once or twice, right? And the food, I think, is extraordinary. And just seeing how they've operated, how they've treated their, you know, their employees, you know, just little things like that, little big things mm-hmm. like that, right?
It was a good pivot.
Oh, man. It was an excellent one.
Yeah.
They're doing great, you know what I mean? But I would love to be able to see big business. And they're not always the enemy, right, at all. But In a lot of cases, I would love to see, you know, more genuine and direct contributions, access, help, you know, to see smaller businesses thrive, because those were the ones mostly that were hurting during COVID. Mm-hmm. And, you know, small business is still being affected by that as we're kind of climbing out of that COVID hole and trying to get back to normalcy. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully we'll get back to that. That's what we're all striving for, you know, and kind of get things back to normal, taking the creativity that we've experienced and been exposed to and we're incentivized to kind of fall into during, you know, 2020 and take that into 2021 and beyond. So everyone, you're listening to Alaska, Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. I'm your guest host, Justin Williams, today speaking with guests Sheena Goffner and Jason Anderson about the significance of our food culture. We won't be accepting calls on this pre-recorded episode of Hometown, but we are thinking of you indeed, and we will be prepared to have you join us in future episodes. We'll be right back after this short break.
Listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode of Hometown Alaska was recorded in June 2021.
Welcome, 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 everyone. This is Hometown Alaska. I'm your guest host, Justin Williams, and I'm here in the studio with Sheena Goffner of Gelate and Jason Anderson of Melt Food Truck. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. We're on our last third, I was going to say quarter, last third of our show. So thank you so much for tuning in and joining us. We're speaking today about the significance of food culture in Alaska. So, you know, talking statistics, Anchorage in particular is one of the most diverse cities in the United States of America. That's not new knowledge. I was pretty blown away when I learned that, because I was born and raised here. I'm the only person in my family that was actually born and raised here. My dad's from South Carolina. My mom's from New York. My brother's from Georgia. And then they came up here, had me, and stayed here. So my perspective on things Alaskan, I think, is a little more, it's just unique, I think, different. The music scene, the art scene, the food scene, as we're discussing today, the way that I view the people around me, you know, as a black man, as a minority here, Alaska is extremely diverse. There's just no way around it. It's a beautiful thing. You know, Juneteenth is coming up. You know, it's Pride Month. Last month was Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. So Jason, I wanted to ask you, like, how does your food, or does it, you know, contribute to the spirit of diversity that embodies Alaska? And does your food, because you do come up with very particular sandwiches, like, does your food have any particular message that you want to get out to the consumer?
So when I was looking at the diversity statistics here, I was aware of East High School, you know, being the most diverse high school in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to Google the top five.
Yeah.
We have three of the top five in this town.
That's right.
And that was very shocking to me. I thought being number one was great as it is, but having the three of the top five is pretty awesome to have. And through that diversity, you get a lot of food and different food cultures. And it's, as America is a melting pot of culture, I think Anchorage is a melting pot of food.
Mm. Word. Yeah.
And I like to view what I do as an opportunity to be creative on my specials, but also to do my best to pay homage to other cultures. I find food as one of, like, the biggest ways that we can bring cultures together.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I genuinely believe, and I think it's actually happened in history, that you could prevent a war if you have people sit down and eat a dinner together.
And
I mean, you go back to Alice Waters, and her goal as a chef was to bring conviviality back to the dinner table.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do. I want people to sit around and just talk and bring kind of that old traditional family dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm at a brewery, but I get to be outside cooking and I can hear people talking about the food. And it's one of those things where my goal is to bring that conviviality out. But what really hits close home to me is when I hear somebody say, this reminds me of something that I ate when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the ultimate dream. And, you know, I had a friend that I made gumbo for her one time, and she's from Florida. And she's like, this reminds me of my grandma's gumbo.
Mm.
And I was like, that's the best compliment you could ever give me.
Yeah.
To bring those memories back is my ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the diversity here has allowed me to be able to do different things and be able to tap into other markets. And like I said, pay homage to all these different cultures that I love eating personally. I wish that I could learn from them even more, because I was taught the basic fundamentals, and if I could just sit down and discuss with an Indian food chef, a Mexican food chef, any of these people, I think we could sit there and just talk about their culture, the food, and really understand what it is that they do in the grand scheme of things. I mean, food is a love language.
Mm.
Anthony Bourdain said it best. And he said, you know, when I cook you something, I'm trying to give you a story about myself without telling you.
Mm. Absolutely. I was just, I think there's a film either coming out or has just been released about Anthony Bourdain called Roadrunner.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I saw it, it broke my heart because Anthony Bourdain has been one of my inspirations and influences just on life in itself, the way that he views the world and experiences food and travel and things that matter to me,
mm-hmm.
things that matter, period. You know,
right?
Him among other people, and I think he's just a great reference to a life worth living, experiences worth being bold to reach.
Yeah, you know? I mean, he basically he teaches the importance of diversity through
yeah.
food.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did for me. I wouldn't have known half the things I'd known if it wasn't for him doing his travels.
Yeah.
And for that, like for him to be able to get us to sit down for 45 minutes
mm-hmm.
and learn about a different country, a different culture, and inspire us to be like, I need to find a restaurant right now that has that,
mm-hmm.
is so crucial, I think, into what's happening in this city.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at how diverse our restaurant scene is here,
mm-hmm.
it is, I mean, I think there's more different cuisines here in Anchorage than there is in Kansas City. And Kansas City's, you know, three times the size of Anchorage.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's amazing to see how many different types of food that I can find here.
Yeah.
And it's a journey. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Seeing some of your things, I mean, I've been trying to catch up on what you've tried. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate being able to find those things and getting your help in finding them as well.
Yeah. Absolutely, because they're there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to look too far. We just have to look.
Right.
You know, they're usually right under our nose, right under our face. And I think that's a fantastic thing. And I love also to see all sorts of different chefs of different ethnicities experiencing all sorts of food that we are being introduced to recently. David Chang
mm-hmm.
is probably my number one guy, my number one cuisine crush, as it were. You know, and just watching him and the way that he experiences food and travel as well is just, it really inspires me to go out there and try more. And to be able to do anything like that for my home state and home city is more of a blessing than I could ever ask for. And Sheena, I wanted to ask you the same thing. Your food is very, very special to me personally. The first time I ever had gelato was actually in 2012 when I spent the summer in London in an art internship. I actually had, it was a little food stand, had gelato and Liege waffles together for the first time. So I was experiencing two things at the same time, but they put it together almost in sort of a meal. And so for me, gelato isn't an American thing. Like you said, it's very European. And so to have that over here and to have it done well with ingenuity and creativity means a whole lot to me. So, I mean, how does your food embody the spirit of diversity in Anchorage, Alaska?
I feel like, well, just to start off, a lot of people feel that gelato should be traditional,
mm-hmm.
Just traditional flavors. And I feel like that just kind of closes everything up.
Mm-hmm.
I love all the different cultures and food that we have here in Anchorage. I feel like we have a good appreciation for it because it's there. You can't avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just grew up that way. So as far as like my flavors go, I always ask the community, what do you want to see? What do you want us to make? Also, you know, I look around and see the different restaurants that we have around and what they have as far as their signature flavors.
Mm.
So like we've done, you know, horchata,
mm-hmm.
Thai tea, pog. Ube is a big one because I'm Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it's exploded in the food scene. Like ube just being purple, I think is so fun
mm-hmm.
that everybody wants to try it. And then like matcha and things like that. So I definitely try to incorporate just unique ingredients and unique flavors from different cultures because that's what makes food exciting is trying new things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. And part of that too is you learn about those cultures when you start making food inspired by them. Because you don't want to bastardize it. I don't know if I can say that, but you don't want to do that. And so you want to make sure that you're giving that culture justice.
Yeah.
By taking it and doing something. And it's funny that you were talking about how with gelato, it's normally viewed as very conform.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very strange with the Italian cuisine and how they Italians migrated over here. And whenever people start doing Italian food, you have a very large group of people who are just, you have to be traditional with this. And they get very upset when others try and do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with pizza. If you know anything about pizza in New York, if it's not Napoleon, it's not pizza.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I mean, to me, that's kind of the importance of food is you can bring two cultures together in one dish and tell a story.
Yeah. And storytelling is the heart, I think, of our state in of itself. You know what I mean? So we're almost out of time here. We're about to close things out. It's so crazy how time goes by so fast when you're talking about something that you're passionate about.
Right.
You know, I feel like an hour wasn't enough time at all. But I do. I want to conclude our conversation with one last quick question for you guys. You know, as small business owners and chefs, bakers, whatever you want to consider yourselves, I believe you, Sheena, and you, Jason, are the future of, you know, Alaska's economy. So I have one quick question for you guys. What's next?
Sheena, you can go first.
Okay. Well, what's next for me, of course, is the second location. We're just trying to expand to just like a larger group of people. Bring gelato to those people, because not a lot of people, you'd be surprised how many people don't know what gelato is, or that it's different, or even that it's, you know, related to ice cream, things like that. So that's going to be fun. Definitely going to be looking into even more flavors. I would love to do more collaborations with other restaurateurs, and then just kind of go from there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Congrats on the second location, by the way.
Thank you.
Do you happen to know Lauren Owens? I believe she's partners with you, right?
Yeah. She started with us in the beginning, and then COVID hit, and we had to kind of let some people go. So that was a bit sad. But I definitely know Lauren. It was good to work with her.
Yeah. Well, for me, Justin, to answer the question. The next step for me, I think, is to get a bigger truck so I can I can hold more product and hold more items on a menu.
Yeah.
And after that, the sky's the limit.
Absolutely. I'm very excited for both of you guys. I love you guys as individuals. I love your guys as businesses, and the way that you contribute to the city, you feed hearts and minds. Food brings us to the past. It brings us to the future. And it's just, it's everything that we didn't know that we needed. So I just thank you guys so much for what you do for our city. And everyone, thank you for joining us today for Hometown Alaska. Our guests today were Sheena Goffner and Jason Anderson. I'm your guest host, Justin Williams. Our audio engineer was Ammon Swinson. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.